Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Drew Porter, the president and founder at Red Mesa, a leading security consulting firm led by true experts with experience across the cybersecurity landscape. And Mr. Porter, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And the pleasure certainly ours, and I'm sure we'll learn a few things from you here today. So for starters, tell us more about Red Mesa's products and services to get things underway.
Yeah. Red Mesa is a bespoke security firm, and what we specialize in is being the trusted advisor for companies of all sizes and high net worth individuals. What that means is these companies or these individuals will have security concerns, whether they be cyber or physical, and they want a more in-depth look at it or a different approach than what other firms are offering. And that's when they call us. Typically, when we're being called in, it's because they need another level or a partner that they can always rely on to address not just their concerns here and now, but also their concerns that they could have in the future.
Well, certainly is a comfort to know that there is people like you and your company, Red Mesa, out there to help in the time of need, in cybersecurity needs, that is. Now, in terms of prospective customers and verticals or industries, who will benefit most from Red Mesa's technology?
Yeah, it's any company that wants to improve their security posture, or in that company, it can also include executives who are traveling overseas often. We get called in a lot to help them with that. And direct industries, if we're going to talk about our core competencies when it comes to verticals, would be industries like healthcare, gaming, critical infrastructure, both utilities and communication, as well as large data centers. And those are the four verticals that seem to really attract to us the most. But we have other, we work with other companies outside of that as well. We work with, you know, a lot of blockchain companies. They're springing up everywhere, as well as some high-tech startups.
I'm sure you have plenty to work with those you just mentioned there. Now, what would you say are the worst cyber threats out there today, and what are the challenges that these risks pose for the future?
Yeah, so the worst cybersecurity threats is dependent not just on industry, but on business size. So I'll address that question in multiple folds. The first one will address something that affects all businesses, and that would have to be phishing. So you can have untold amounts of, you know, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars poured into your security, and it can all be subverted by one employee who gets an email, follows its instructions because they believe it's from the CEO, and then now you have, you know, tens of millions of dollars being transferred to a bank account, which is something that has happened. I mean, it's not just one company that has failed for something like that. It's multiple large companies, but also small businesses. A lot of small businesses are working on very innovative technology, and they have IP that they need to protect, and they don't necessarily have the resources for all those, you know, security layers that all these other larger companies have. But they're just as vulnerable to phishing. You can have an engineer or someone in a administration position get an email, get a phone call, or click on a particular link on a website. And then they'll say, hey, you need to download this, or can you read this Word document? They read the Word document, they download the application that it says it needs to download, you know, a whole bunch of different scenarios, all leading to the compromising of that system which then can lead to compromise of other systems. So this attack, this threat, affects companies of all sizes. The larger companies may be more readily available to respond to it. Smaller businesses are affected by this type of attack every single day. Now, that's the commercial side. On a larger scale, the largest threat that we have right now for like nationwide, and this isn't just, and I'm based in the U.S., this isn't just, you know, a threat to the U.S., but many countries, is the general state of security with a lot of critical infrastructure. So this isn't just the cybersecurity side of it. This is also the physical security side. There are ways to disrupt the power grid for a very, very long time. And when we say very, very long time, we're talking 3 to 8 months periods by causing some type of physical damage to a particular part of the infrastructure. That could be dams if they're doing hydroelectric. But also on the cyber side, more utility companies are moving to a centrally managed all-access type approach. And what I mean by all-access is very few people will have all-access, but they'll have access to turn parts off on the grid or turn particular areas off. That could be individual buildings or rerouting power so that a small area or even large area could be disrupted, and that could be done digitally. This is not to say utility companies aren't aware of these problems, and they are trying to address them every single day, but it is very difficult for them to address these problems because they're facing against other countries. They're facing adversaries that have nearly unlimited time, truly unlimited budget. And when you look at that and how do you defend against that, when you take a step back and think, how do I defend against someone that has all the time in the world, all the resources that they could ever want, and they want to get into me? It becomes a larger issue than just saying, you know, oh, we need to have separation of networks, we need to have VPNs and all these other items, because you also have to worry about the insider threat on that aspect as well. These countries will get people hired into other places, into a company. So the threat internally and externally are both very real, and they affect national security. So those are two separate areas, two different types of issues. One is a direct, and one is, you know, more relevant to everyone, which is the phishing attack. And then the other one is just the threat to critical infrastructure, not just in the U.S., but other countries as well.
Really do appreciate the information and insight here. Most helpful and appreciated today. We're joined by Mr. Drew Porter, the president and founder at Red Mesa, a leading security consulting firm led by true experts with experience across the cybersecurity landscape. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Porter, are there any technologies in cybersecurity that's overhyped in your opinion?
There are a lot of technologies that are always coming out in cybersecurity, and it's hard as a consumer of them, so a company, to be aware of every single one. I'm sure everyone has their own opinion in the industry, as we're all very opinionated in the cybersecurity industry, it seems, about what's overhyped. And I wouldn't say specific technologies. There are technologies in cybersecurity that are overhyped for sure. But at a larger scale, I think in 2020, the most overhyped item is actually a service, and it's managed detection and response services. And why I say they're overhyped, they're actually overhyped by the companies that are offering these types of services themselves. And I have some friends that actually own some of these companies, and they know my opinion, and they you know, they're taking the appropriate response of trying to not overhype it as much. But a lot of their competitors, they are overhyping it. So it affects the entire industry that they're in, the entire managed services with dealing directly with the detection and response service. And the reason why it's overhyped is they make these claims that they'll be able to detect any intrusion, or that they have a extremely high detection rate and response rate within a certain amount of time. And when we see these products that are being pushed out that customers are buying, we see that the advertised metrics are not realistic. And that doesn't mean that they couldn't be realistic. It just means that the companies that are advertising it, they're getting so much service in that they're having a problem keeping up with the amount of customers they have coming in. So now they make these claims. They have new customers that are coming in because they're making these claims, and it falls flat on its face. There's a breach that happens, and it's not detected for a period of time, and it's not responded to until that attacker or that particular organized crime group has gotten the information that they wanted, the IP. They've gotten, the other types of information outside of IP, which companies hold, such as information about their employees. They've already gotten that information. It's already left the network before these companies are detecting and responding to it. So that's what I would consider in today's day and age, the most overhyped aspect of cybersecurity when it relates to technologies or services. And the other problem that you have with it is a lot of them are overpriced. We're talking to get into one of these larger companies that have, offer these managed detection and response services. It's five figures at a minimum a month. And these companies could be taking that and hiring internal folks at that at a lesser cost. They can match that cost by hiring multiple internal folks and obtain better results. And that's why I believe it's overhyped, is just the overpromising, under-delivering, and the amount of services that the businesses could get for that same amount of money by hiring competent professionals inside.
I certainly appreciate your input there. That is most appreciated and helpful. Now, as far as COVID-19 is concerned, how has COVID-19 changed the way companies are handling their cybersecurity? Has it changed any?
Yeah. So COVID-19 has changed a lot of things that companies are doing now. Companies that are surviving and thriving in this COVID-19 environment are the ones that are realizing that they can have more remote workers. With that, their particular approach to security might have relied heavily on workers being behind, a very hard external shell, both in terms of physical security and digital security. Companies will spend lots of money hardening their external shell. So that's either their external internet presence or external services that are available on the internet. And then they let certain other items slip, such as the security of the laptop itself that the employee is using. And now employees aren't coming into the hardened shell or the hardened environment. They're performing work duties at home. And that has opened up a lot of companies to trying to look at new threats that they hadn't looked at beforehand. Because a lot of companies always thought, hey, I can always just have my employees come into the office and we'll be protected for data leaking out of there because we have everything monitored there centrally. We have security. They go through metal detectors. They go through, some places go through bag x-rays to see if any unapproved electronics are being brought in or unapproved electronics are being brought out that can hold the information. But now, these employees are having to do the same exact thing at their house. And you don't have that layer of both physical security. Companies are adopting, you know, more digital security items that can be remotely used on these computers. Most major companies already were using virtual private networks, which is the ability to remote into their environment to give it a little extra protection. But some companies have realized those weren't configured correctly, and it opened them up to certain types of leakage attacks or other types of attacks their employees are now having to deal with, their cybersecurity teams are dealing with. So it has kind of changed the approach of, all right, how do we ensure that we have a good security posture while having a 100% remote workforce? And this has changed companies' reliance on certain cybersecurity practices. This has changed companies' reliance on certain physical security practices. And they really are looking at it from a standpoint now of how do we secure the environment when we have zero employees in a centralized location? And this is something, you know, we've been helping companies deal with for a long time, even before COVID-19, because some of our clients were already moving to that fully remote workforce, because it lowers their overhead on building and other overheads that they have. Their environments are already in the cloud, so why do they need to have people come in physically unless there are some specialized team? So more companies were just forced into that mindset. They weren't able to really adjust or slowly build up into it. They were just told one day, this is how it's going to have to be done. Some companies were ready for it, and some companies weren't. The companies that survive and that survive without any large security instances are the ones I believe are going to thrive past the COVID-19 pandemic. And there are some companies that just won't be able to adjust, and you know, they'll have their data compromised, and they could potentially go out of business. So the handling side is really to address them, to give a one sentence answer on your question. How companies how they've changed the way companies are handling their cybersecurity, it comes down to realizing the employees' laptop itself, or their device that they're using, their mobile phone, their laptop, other work devices that can be carried around with them, is really where security needs to start, as well as starting with training employees so that they are more security aware. Companies were already doing this, but they're doing it more now, because after the pandemic, companies are going to allow people to still work remotely. Well, people are going to get tired of working in their houses, so what are they going to do? They're going to work in coffee shops. And now they're going to have laptops lying down or in their car or in more of a place of flux. So they have to worry about how do they manage the security of the device while still having the usability and productiveness of all the employees. So it is I think a lot of companies are handling it well. It is a new paradigm in the world of business for a lot of people. And the ones that succeed are the ones that have management that can think quickly, act quickly, and drive their teams to handle threats that they haven't handled before or scenarios that they weren't thinking about at that time.
The key takeaway here is be ready, and implementing a company like Red Mesa to protect you from cyber threats, your company, even your personal technology situations at your home place there. Really appreciate your visit. Can't thank you enough, Mr. Porter, for what you do on behalf of Red Mesa. I'm sure listeners want to know how they could get further information online, as well as how they could also be in touch.
Yeah, so our website is redmesa.com. www.io, I as in Indian, O as in ocean. You can reach us out through there. We have our general contact information, and we'll go to all the people that will be able to respond to any questions or inquiries. If they're interested in improving their security posture or having a conversation about how we can use our, you know, red team or purple team services, our consulting services, or they just need a trusted advisor in the world of physical or digital cybersecurity, they can find out more information there.
Again, listeners, it is redmesa.io. Of course, this link will be included within the show notes of this broadcast as well. Again, Mr. Porter, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for the interview.
And it certainly was our pleasure. Anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Drew Porter, president and founder at Red Mesa, a leading security consulting firm led by true experts with experience across the cybersecurity landscape. And again, for further information, visit redmesa.io. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.